Okay, good morning, Brishas Rabbi Krohn. We are on Daf Tzadik. So we're going to start actually the very bottom of Pei Tes Amud Beis. So last time we talked about there's a machlokes between Rav Nosson and the Chachamim, and the machlokes essentially is, does a vow have to actually take effect for the husband or the father to be able to do hafara, to be able to annul it? So in other words, does it have to, can it just be said and canceled, or does it actually have to kick in before it actually could be annulled? So we started a story last week related. The story is, Hahu Gavra, there was this guy, Itzra Hanisa the Amalei, that he basically made a neder that he would not that he would not get married until he learned all this halacha, until he was well versed in whether Mishnayos or something like that, until he was really well educated in Torah matters. And Rod begap b'tavle, and he tried very hard. He tried to learn very much. Well, imsi lemistan, he was not able to be so successful in accomplishing this goal. So Asa Rav Acha bar Rav Huna v'shapshpei. So Rav Acha bar Huna came along, and he fundamentally tricked him. What did he do? And he told him, basically, don't worry, go ahead and get married. It's okay anyway. But insiv itzasa, and he got married. So once he gets married, because he made this neder, the neder says, once you're married, you're not able to get benefit from anybody else. That was his neder. And what did he then do? Turning to Tzadik Gama Aleph. V'sharkei tina, he threw dirt in his face. He made him dirty. So as a result of him being dirty, he needed people to help him out. He needed people to wash his clothes or other stuff like that. So he's now dependent upon people to help him, even though he made this neder that he isn't allowed. V'asilu kami de Rav Chisda. Once he did that, they brought him in front of Rav Chisda to do hataras nedarim. So fundamentally, what happened here is the message forced him to actually make the neder, make the vow happen. And because the vow happened, he did atara. So the implication is that the whole purpose of making him do it was to annul the vow, as opposed to just annulling the vow without making it happen. So Amar Rava, so this is the explanation. Man chakim lemevet kiay milsa. Why? Who is so smart who did this? Ilav Rav Acha bar Huna de Gavar Rabba. Rav Acha bar Rav Huna is smart, and he's Gavar Rabba here. He did this. The kasaver the chihacha the pilgei rabban Rav Nosson b'afara. That just like we learned earlier, that there's a machlokas of the chachamim Rav Nosson about doing hafara. Hachadnami pliga b'sheila. The same thing applies to ataras nedarim. So in other words, in order to be matir neder, to go to a chacham, to matir neder, the neder has to be chal, at least according to one of the opinions. And that's the machlokas between Rabbanan and Rav Nosson. And Rav Papi Amar, a different view of it. Machlokas b'havar, that the machlokas about, between Rav Nosson and the chachamim, about whether the neder has to be chal for it to get annulled, only applies to hafara. So Rav Nosson savar ein abal mefer elim kal neder, that Rav Nosson holds that the husband can only do hafara if it has taken effect. Dichsev v'chafra halavana, that it says v'chafra halavana, which literally means that the moon will be ashamed, but it's not really a translation. And the chafra is just an allusion to the word hafara. And halavana is like the word like building. So it just basically means that in order for hafara to happen, something has to actually have occurred. So according to Rav Nosson, it has to be chal. It has to actually, the neder has to be in place. Ravana svare bal mefer alfa pishlo chal neder. And the Ravana says no, that the husband can annul it even if it has not taken effect. Dechsev mefer machshavos arum, because the pasuk in Eov says that he was able to revoke the thoughts. Right, so thoughts are things that didn't actually happen. Avo b'she'ela, but when it comes to actually just a hataras nedar, I'm asking a chacham, not a fara. Divrei akol ein chacham matir klum el im kim chal neder. Everyone holds that you have to have the neder has to actually have taken effect. Why dechsev lo yachel dvaro? Lo yachel dvaro teaches us is the word yachel is like the word chal. It has to have taken effect. So according to what Rav Papi is saying here is that the only machlokas is by hafara. There is no machlokas by hatara. Hatara, everyone agrees, has to have taken effect. We're going to try to prove this from some braises. Leimu Messiah, konam she'enen eleploni. If someone says, I am making a neder that I'm not going to get benefit from such and such a person, Ulumish Eshalalab. And if I happen to ask someone to do Hataras Nedarim on that neder, I'm also going to have not have benefit from that person. So in other words, I'm not going to have benefit from person A. And then if I go and ask Rabbi X to give me, to mata that neder, I want to benefit from Rabbi X. So Nishal Arishon, V'achakach Nishal Asheni. What he has to do is first he has to ask for Hatara on the first neder, meaning that he's not going to get benefit from the first person. And then he has to ask Hatara on the, that he's not going to get benefit from the Chacham who did Hatara for him. Via Mart Nishal Afal Bishlo Chal Neder. And if you want to say that you can ask for a Chacham to matir the Neder, even if the Neder wasn't Chal, Ibayel Haid Nishal Shalbash Resha. Why? He should have asked first. He should have said first, he should have done Hatara on the part of the Neder that said, this is the person who does Hatara for me, I want to benefit from them. In other words, first ask for to Hatara on the neder that I won't get benefit from Rabbi X is going to do Hafara for me on the initial neder. Ibai El Hai Nishtal Bereisha. And if he wants, he could do it one way or the other. So that implies the implication here is that since the Bereisha doesn't say that, the Bereisha says you do the first and then the second, that you don't have the ability to do the Hatara on the thing related to the Chacham first. Gemara doesn't like. There's a miyada haikam haibasra. All the Bereisa says is the first and the second. Doesn't tell you which is first and which is second. It says there's two different actions here. You could have done one. You could have done the rabbi first, and you could have done the other neder second. So it doesn't really prove that anything to you. Ella lema misayle, a different Bereisa. Konam shani nan eloponi. I am making a neder that I'm not going to get benefit from such and such a person. And harini nazir l'cha eshalav. And when I ask for hatara on it, I become a nazir. Nishala nidro. V'achachak nishala nidro. He should first ask about his neder, to get rid of the neder. And then he should ask to annul the fact that he's now a nazir. V'yamar nishalal afal pi shalal chal neder. And if you want to say that you can ask for hatara on something that has not yet taken effect, Ibayel Nidra Ishtal Bereisha. He could have asked the Chacham to annul the Neder about becoming the Nazir first. Ibayel Nidra Ishtal Bereisha, or he could have asked either on the Neder first. Ibayel Nidra Ishtal Bereisha. Or if he wanted to, he could have asked to annul the Naziris first. So this Bereisha seems to imply, and it spells that a little more, that he can ask on either one. He can either ask on the benefit Neder first, or he could ask on the Nazir Neder first. And the Nazir Neder does not take effect until the benefit neder kicks in. The Gemara doesn't like this. Why Rav Nassan? No, this Bereisa follows the view of Rav Nassan. And Rav Nassan, he says, is the one who says that a neder doesn't have to be chal to do hatara. It's the Chachamim that says it has to be that way, right? So if it follows Rav Nassan, that doesn't really prove anything, because then it still shows that there's a machlokas in this way. So now we're going to re-present everything we just said that Rav Papi said, and just in a pretty much the opposite view. So Amar Ravina, Amarli Maremar, Maremar told me, Hachi Amar Ravucha Mishpei de Rav Papi. This is really what I learned from your father. This is really what Rav Papi said. Machlokes b'hafara. The machlokes about whether it has to be chal or not only applies to hafara. Ava b'she'ela, but when it comes to asking a chacham, divrei akol mefer v'afa pishlo chal neder. Everyone agrees that you could do hatara even if the neder isn't chal. And why is that? Dechsev lo yachel dvaro, that his words should not take effect. His words are not really anything. Nothing has happened. So when we learned this the first time, we applied lo yachel dvaro to use the word yachel to prove that it was chal. Here we're using the same lo yachel dvaro to teach that it's only his words, it's not his actual action. So going to Amud Beis. They teach us that the words is all that happened, but the practical application of the neder didn't really kick in. So this is a different way of different perspective on Rav Papi, and therefore they're going to bring the same Bereisa again to prove or disprove it. So Meisve, we learned in a Bereisa, Konam Shani Nel Poni, just like we learned before, I'm making a neder that I'm not going to get benefit from a certain person. Lumisha Nesh Alav, and to the Chacham that I'm going to ask to do Hatara on that neder, I want to benefit on that. Nishal Arishon, Rachak Nishal Hashani. This is the same exact race we learned before. You ask on the first, and then you ask on the second. Amai. So why do you have to do the first one first? If he wanted to, he could have asked about the second one first. And he could have asked about the first one first. Right? So again, it's sort of suggesting that you can ask about them in any order, right? You can ask about the neder not to get benefit from the chacham first, the chacham that's going to do atara first, or the other way around. The Gemara again is going to respond to it the same way. It doesn't say which is first and which is second, right? So implication is it doesn't really teach you anything. It doesn't really teach you that you could do atara on the chacham first. It just says that you have to do one and number one and then number two. It doesn't tell you which is which. So we're going to go back to the second same b'raisa that we learned before. I'm going to make a konam that I'm not going to get benefit from such and such a person. And if I ask for hatara from a chacham, I'm going to become a nazir. And then it says, first he should ask about his neder, and then he should ask about his naziris. Right, so the implication here is that once he has to ask about the neder first, right, and that causes him to become a nazir. And at that point, and only at that point, he could ask Hatara about him being a nazir. Vamai, why does the first neder have to be annulled first? E bayan nidro nishtal bereisha. If he wants, he can ask about his neder first. Vibayel nizro nitchal bereisha. But if he wanted to, he can get rid of his second neder about nizirus first. He can do one or the other in any order he wants. So this bereisa suggests that you can do one before the other. So this way of viewing the bereisa seems to be different than what we said before. We said before that was only the opinion of Rav Nassan. It wasn't the opinion of the Chachamim. Here we're not saying that. So this secondary view of it says to Yufta, this is a refutation. So we learn from here that there is at least what we could learn from this is there's a machlokas between Rav Nassan and the Chachamim when it comes to Hatara, not just Hafara. So the statement that we learned earlier that this sort of refutes the view that you said that everyone agrees by Hatara, and it was only by Hafara that they disagreed, right? So clear that they don't agree by Hatara because we have two different views here. We have the view of Rav Nassan and we have the view of the Chachamim. Okay, great. Now we're going to start the last Mishnah in Nedarim. So this is a case of where the wife makes specific statements, and those statements enable her to get divorced. And not only does she enable her to get divorced, she's able to collect her ksuba as a result of getting divorced, which doesn't seem to be the norm, because if you remember back when we did ksubas, we learned that if the wife does something that causes her to have to leave, she may not get her ksuba. So we're talking about specific cases that might be slightly different. Barishona ha'amim, originally they would say, and we're going to learn in a minute in the same Mishnah that they changed these things. So this is what they started off with originally. Shlosh nashem yotzos v'notos ksuba. Three women can make some sort of statement or do some sort of action, and they could get divorced. And not only get divorced, but they could also collect their ksuba. And who are these? Ha'omeres tameya ani lecha. Someone who says to her husband, I am tamei to you, meaning that someone had relations with her, and now she's forbidden to the person. And the Gemara is going to explain later a little bit, but just to clarify what we're talking about here is that this must be a situation where we're talking about the wife of a Kohen. And when it comes to a Kohen whose wife has relations with another man, whether it was with her acceptance or whether it was against her will, he is no longer allowed to be with her, right? So as a result of that, that's what the Gemara is going to explain is the case we're talking about here. But basically, the woman says, I am tamei to you because I had relations with another person. Shamayim beinu levenecha says that the shamayim is between me and you. This is a big euphemism that says that you are, the wife is saying to the husband, you are impotent. And because you're impotent, you're not enabling me to have a child. And because of that, you have to divorce me and give me your ksuba. And the third one is netula ani mina yehudim, that the woman makes a neder that I am forbidden to have relations with any Jewish person. So that not only applies to any Jewish person, that applies to her, to him as well, because he's a Jewish person. The Gemara now says, Chazru Lomar, they later backed off some of these things and they modified some of these things. Shlotei isha nosenaseinea ba'acher umakalkelas al bala. Because they didn't want to have a situation where it would be very easy for a woman to just make one of these statements, or to act immorally against her husband or to do something illicit and to be able to not only get divorced but to get her ksuba as well. So they changed the rules here slightly. So ha'omeres tameya ani lecha, a woman who says, I am tummy to you because I had relations with another man, she can't just say that. Tavi raya ledvareh, she has to come bring some sort of proof. And only when she brings some sort of proof is when the husband is required to divorce her and give her a ksuba. And the second one, ha'shamayim beini levanecha, she basically says euphemistically to her husband, you're impotent, and as a result, you have to divorce me. Yasu derech bakasha. So this, she has to do it through some sort, this was changed to be some sort of request. And the Mefarshim explained that there's two ways of understanding this. Number one is, they basically said, women are no longer allowed to do this. Because this wasn't an appropriate thing for her to do, and they would not allow this to happen. That was one explanation. The other explanation is that the Chachamim would daven for her so that she would be able to get pregnant, and as a result, get rid of it. Bottom line is that they stopped allowing this to be a valid option. And the third, in Tula Animi and Yehudim, if she says, I want to be, I'm not allowed to be with any Jewish person, what they would say is Yafer Chelko. We learned, you know, throughout the Masechta that the husband's allowed to do Hafara if it's something that's Beini Levena Levena, if it's something that impacts the two of them. So in that case, he should just do Hafara on the part that involves him. And I think we actually learned this earlier, that he should do Hafara where basically he's allowed to have relations with her. But if he ever dies or if she ever gets, or they ever get divorced, then she's no longer allowed to marry anybody else, right? To him, Hisham Shato. And therefore, she's allowed to stay married to him and continue to have relations with him. And Atanatula Mini Yehudim. So they made these modifications so that when it comes to the saying that she's Tameya, she has to bring proof. And the second case of where she would say he's impotent, that they would basically not allow that anymore. And the third one where it was, if she made this declaration that she's forbidden to all Jewish people, that he would do hafara on the part of it that was related to him. So the Gemara is going to clarify some of this. Ibai lehu. If the woman says to her husband, I am tamea to you because I had relations, is she allowed? So if we're talking about the situation of a wife of a Kohen, is she allowed to continue to eat truma? Right? In theory, if she's making this statement, so a Kohen's wife is, who's now, if we say that she's not allowed to, if she's Yotze, is she also Yotze? She's also the ksuba. Is she also continuing to allow to eat truma, right? Because how does that really work, right? So, or does it mean when we learned that she has to bring proof? Does that mean if she doesn't bring proof, she not only is allowed to remain with him, she's also allowed to continue to eat truma? Seems to be a complicated thing, right? It seems to be something that would not be allowed. And the Ron brings a long clarification on this because these are both. The oraisa items about remaining with the kohen and eating truma. So how are the rabbanon able to say that she has to bring proof? But basically they do it, and as a result, so we have this question about is she continuing to allow eat truma? Rav Sheshes Amar Ocheles. Rav Sheshes says she can eat truma. Why? Shlototzi laz albaneha, that she shouldn't cause people to question whether her children are valid kohanim. Because if the implication is that if she doesn't eat truma, it's saying that she's a chalala, that she had relations with somebody else, and the children are chalalim. They're someone that the kohen must have had relations with someone he wasn't supposed to have relations with, right? So that in theory would prove, that would give some proof and some question about whether the children of the kohen are valid as to continue the kohanic lineage. But Rava Amar Ein Rochas, no, she's not allowed to eat truma. Efshar de Echa Chulin, because she's not only limited to eating truma, she could eat chulin. All kohanim eat truma and chulin, right? So the fact that she's not eating truma doesn't really mean anything. It doesn't really prove anything because maybe she prefers chulin to truma. And Amar Rava, Umodi Rav Sheshes, Rav Sheshes would agree. She'im this armala, that if the kohen dies and she becomes an almana, she'ena ochela, so once she becomes an almana, she is no longer allowed to eat truma. Normally, if a kohen dies and his wife, if there's young children, is allowed to continue to eat truma because there shouldn't be confusion in the house because the wife is responsible to take care of the children at that point. But he's saying in this case, if in this case, because of the where she said she's tumeya, she would not be able to continue to eat truma. Because the only reason that we were allowing her to continue eat truma is because there would be a question about whether whether people would question the lineage of the children. And if the Kohen's already died, there's no question, no one's going to question this because the children were born before the Kohen died in this case, right? So this is after, and whatever might have happened after the children were born. And this Armel of Nisgarsha, and if she was a widow or a divorcee, Amre, people will see that she's not eating truma, and they say Hasha de Insisa. It only happened after she was widowed or divorced. At that time is when she had relations with somebody else, and that because she had relations with that somebody else, that disqualified her from eating truma. So they won't cause any issue or concern about the lineage of the children. Amara Papa. Badik len Rava. So Rava, who was Rav Papa's Rebbe, used to ask them questions to keep them sharp. And he would say, Eishes Kohen shenensa. So the wife of a Kohen who, God forbid, is raped. Yesh laksuba o ein laksuba. So we know that he's no longer allowed to live with her. But does she get her ksuba or does she not get her ksuba? What is he really saying? Kevan ta onis lagabi Kohen keratzen lagabi Yisrael dami. Because there's an analogy that you can make by the wife of a Kohen who has relations with, whether it's willful or not willful, where with the wife of a Yisrael who has relations willfully. So the wife of a Yisrael who has relations willfully is usher to her husband. The wife of a Kohen who has relations whether willfully or not willfully is usher to her husband. So you can say that in the case of a Kohen whose wife has relations by ones is on the same level as the wife of Yisrael who has relations willfully, and the wife of a Yisrael who has relations willfully ain't la ksuba. She does not get her ksuba. She's only not allowed to be with her husband anymore. He has to divorce her and she doesn't get her ksuba. So do you say that the two cases are analogous, that the wife of a Kohen who has relations by ones also doesn't get her ksuba because it's the same thing as the wife of Yisrael who has relations deliberately? Oh, Dilma Matzi Armai, or maybe what we say is, Ana Hai Chazina, I am totally appropriate to marry any Yisrael. My only issue is, I can't be with you. So the problem is, Garvahu de Nisachta Sadehu. He's saying, you, because you're a Kohen, this is your problem. If I was married to a non-Kohen, I wouldn't have a problem. It's only because I'm married to a Kohen that I have this problem, and therefore it's your loss, and you have to pay me my ksuba. So what is it? Is it analogous to the case of the Yisrael who has relations willfully, it doesn't get her ksuba? Or is it not because she's different? She could say, if I was married to Yisrael, I wouldn't have this problem. And we replied, Masnisinhi, this comes from our Mishnah. Ha'omeres, Temeya ani lecha, yesh la ksuba. That we began this Mishnah by saying that if she says that she's Temeya, he has to divorce her and give her a ksuba. My asking, and what is our Mishnah talking about? Elam of Eishes Yisrael, if we're talking about a wife of Yisrael, because remember, the Mishnah didn't say Kohen or not, right? It's the Gemara that's explaining it. Elam of Eishes Yisrael, if we're talking about the wife of Yisrael, Iba Ratzon, if it was willfully, Klum Yesh La Ksuba, she will never get her Ksuba. V'Iba Ones, and if it was done by Ones, Mikai Master Al Agavra, she's not forbidden to her husband, he doesn't have to divorce her, and certainly doesn't have to pay her Ksuba. V'Ela B'Eishas Kohen, if we're talking about the wife of a Kohen, Iba Ratzon, if it was done deliberately, meaning she had adultery, Klum Yesh La Ksuba, she will not get her Ksuba. Migara M'Eishas Yisrael B'Ratzon, is it any worse than the wife of a, or should she be any less responsible or any held to a lower standard than the wife of a Yisrael who does it beratzon? Wife of Yisrael does it beratzon, doesn't get her ksuba. So why should the wife of a Kohen who does it beratzon get her ksuba? Ela ba'onis. It must be talking about the wife of a Kohen who was by onis. V'katani yesh ksuba. And what this mission is teaching, that in this case, she's able to collect her ksuba. So bottom line is that the wife of the Mishnah is talking about the wife of a Kohen who has it by ones, and we learned that proof has to be brought, and as a result, she's able to collect her ksuba. We'll pause here, and Mirza Hashem will continue next week with Daf Tzadik Aleph. Everyone should have a wonderful day.